Okay, thanks. It's a good opportunity for me to wish Mike a happy birthday, and also to thank him for coming into our field of condensed matter physics and making it really interesting over the last 10 years. After listening to Chetan and Kirill's talk about recollections of Mike, I did think back to when I first met Mike. It was actually in this building. I think it was 2002 or something. Mike sort of showed up and he said to me, you know, I'm thinking about doing this thing with the five-half state where you pick up quasi-particles and you move them around and around each other. And do you think that's impossible? And I said, well, you know, it's not impossible. Maybe you could do this, maybe you could do that. And in recalling that event, Mike said, I couldn't believe how optimistic you were. And in truth, I was thinking, this is completely crazy. So anyway, thanks for all the work you've done in keeping us entertained. And hopefully 10 years from now, we'll be able to thank you for 20 years of being in our field. Also, let me thank the organizers, whoever put this together. It's a great event, and I'm honored to be giving this talk. I also want to thank my collaborators, Fiona Brunel and Joost, who's sitting here. The title is Transitions Between Topological Phases. And when we think about phase transitions, we usually start with the Landau paradigm. That's Landau. That's a pair of dimes. That's that's the only joke for the. So appreciate it. It's the only joke I'm going to give. But the Landau paradigm is that phase transition and phases should be described by local order parameters, and broken symmetries. And we think about for example, a ferromagnet where you have the magnetization vector, which breaks the symmetry. But for us, actually, in this talk, a more interesting thing to think about is Bose condensation, where in the normal phase, there's an expectation of the Bose creation operator, which is zero, whereas in the condensed phase, it takes a non-zero value, and the broken symmetry is the complex direction of that order parameter. Now, if we wanted to write a Hamiltonian that explicitly broke the symmetry, we could do so. We just add these anomalous terms to our Hamiltonian, and then we force this operator to have a non-zero expectation value. That's not really surprising that we should need to do something like this. We know that the phase theta is conjugate to the particle number, so when the phase takes a definite value, the number of particles, the number of bosons, becomes correspondingly indefinite. If this looks a little bit odd, it might look a little more familiar if you think of these bosons as being Cooper pair, and then this is just the Bogoliubov-Dejean Hamiltonian. Now, in topological phases, as Kirill explained to us, a lot of the order we're thinking about is non-local. You measure this order in terms of things like the statistics of quasi-particles, in terms of things like the degeneracy of the ground state on a torus, the entanglement entropy, and things like that. There's no local magnetization to be measured. And we can ask whether we can nonetheless condense something or order something locally to make a transition between two topological phases. Something like Bose condensation. Now, this is something that's been studied in the past. I'll point to a couple of really key references, a PhD thesis by someone with a really great last name, Mark DeWild Propitius, who unfortunately left physics to go to Wall Street, where he made a lot of money. He wanted to center bias his students, and the paper where I learned everything that I know about this field, I was just advertising it this morning, a paper by Bayes and Slingerland, which works through algebraically what happens when you condense a boson in one topological phase and you get to another topological phase. Now, the point of this talk is actually to realize these type of transitions from one phase to another in essentially solvable lattice models and actually go entirely from one phase to another phase in a way that we can follow what's going on and examine the critical theory between the phases. Relevance to experiments with a question mark in this field. When you talk about experiments, you have to be a little bit optimistic, but I'll be maybe a little bit I'll say a little bit about what kind of experiments we might look for. So the first example of this is, the simplest example is if you consider phase transitions in a perturbed toric code. Now, there's a lot of prior work on this. Nothing I'm going to say is new. A lot of it just recapitulates what was done in this nice paper by Treves et al., the Q gang. So the authors of those papers are entitled to go to sleep for the next 5 minutes while I review what was done in this paper. So it starts with the toric code, which Kirill very nicely reviewed for us. We can think of the toric code as being so there's a condition here. This term of the Hamiltonian enforces what amounts to some sort of del dot E condition. In other words, there's just closed loops of of these strings, which are spinned down on the edge. This term over here is in the sigma z basis, is a dynamical term that flips plaquettes. It's a surgery term that Carol was talking about. But in a sigma x basis, this term would be some sort of closed strings on the dual lattice, if you like. The kind of quasi-particles you have are violations of these rules. So for example, this is an electric quasi-particle, which is where a string comes to an end. And you can have magnetic quasi-particles, which would be the end of a magnetic string on the dual lattice. So that's something that lives on the plaquettes. Now this magnetic particle is the one we're going to focus in on. It's a Z2 boson, and what I mean by that is it's a boson, meaning if you take two of these guys around each other, you pick up zero phase, trivial self-braiding. And it's Z2, meaning if you take two of them and you bring them together, they annihilate, they go back to the vacuum. So it looks like a boson. Can we condense it? Well, the thing we'd like to do in the analogy with Bose condensation is we'd like to add an anomalous term to our Hamiltonian, which makes the number of these things indefinite to force it into a condensed phase. But in fact, there's no local operator that creates one of these bosons in an isolated way. So we're going to do the next best thing, which is to create two of these bosons near each other. So, for example, we can create two bosons at a time here. That's a local operator. We can make them go away again by creating again on the same two sites, because if you create two in the same place, you just annihilated the one that was already there. You can create two here. You could then create two on these two sites, which would annihilate this one, but create one over here. Create two more on these sites, move it back. So this one term here, it both creates pairs of these bosons, it annihilates pairs of these bosons, or hops bosons from one site to another. And this will be the term that we're going to study. This term completely commutes with the electric term of the Hamiltonian. It never creates a defect, an electric defect. So you can think of the ground state as being made up of some superposition of these electric flux loops. Another way of saying it is that we can work in reduced Hilbert space, where we're considering the ground state and possibly magnetic particles, these bosons, on every plaquette. So we'll label our Hilbert space by saying that a plaquette is spin up if there's a magnetic particle, a magnetic violation on that plaquette, and it's spin down if there's no magnetic violation on that plaquette. So the effect of Hamiltonian becomes, well, you pay a penalty for having a magnetic particle on the plaquette. It costs you some energy to have the boson on the plaquette. And then this term switches the state of the boson on two neighboring plaquettes. So it either creates two or annihilates two or hops one from one site to another. And we recognize this Hamiltonian as being precisely the transverse field Ising model, and it's an exact mapping. So the model is essentially solved to the extent that we know the solution of the two-dimensional transverse field Ising model. Now, two-dimensional transverse field Ising model is not an exactly solvable model, but we know pretty much everything we want to know about it because it's been studied for an awfully long time. Now, it's worth actually focusing in on this term that we added here, and asking what is it in the toric code language over here. And it turns out that the thing that creates two magnetic particles on neighboring plaquettes is precisely operating on the intervening edge, this thing I've colored green, with a sigma z operator. So if you hit this thing with a sigma z operator, you create two magnetic particles. So we'll just replace this term here with a bunch of sigma z's on every edge weighted by this thing delta, and we realize this is just a string tension for loops. So we can write down our phase diagram. Our phase diagram, with delta equals zero, we have purely the toric code. Then there's a paramagnetic phase when delta isn't very big, and then a ferromagnetic phase where delta is big, and we recognize these as being basically just deconfined loops in this phase versus confined loops over here in this phase. Now, this whole phase here has the same topological properties as the toric code, whereas this phase over here has different topological properties. In fact, it's topologically trivial. And to really understand what's going on in this phase, it's useful to take delta and crank it up to infinity. And at delta equals infinity, these loops develop infinite string tension, so you have no loops at all. So it just completely kills all the loops. Now, in the language of these spins, these tau spins here, The tau spins, when this term is very large, they all point in the x direction. We know the x direction is a superposition of spin up and spin down. So we have a superposition of the boson being there and the boson not being there, and that's the maximum amount of uncertainty you can have in whether the boson is there or not. And that's what you should expect for a Bose condensate. There's an uncertainty of whether the boson is there or not. So this all sort of makes at least qualitative sense in terms of our picture of trying to condense bosons. Now, what we're going to try to, so that was all known. So I didn't tell you anything that people hadn't known for a number of years now. What we're going to try to do here that's new is to do something very, very similar, but use two topologically much less trivial phases. Much the same physics is going to apply. The general scheme is we're going to start with a Levin-Wen lattice model. And these Levin-Wen lattice models provide a description of topological phases that can be quite complicated. And that's going to be our uncondensed phase. Then we're going to find within that Levin-Wen model a Zn plaquette boson. So plaquette meaning it's a plaquette defect. It doesn't make any of these vertex defects. Boson meaning it has trivial self-braiding. And Zn meaning if you take n of these and you put them all together in the same place, they all annihilate each other. Once we have this Zn boson, we're going to add a condensation term to the Levin-Wen model, just like we did before. Then we're going to have an exact mapping to some sort of transverse field Zn spin model, where the Zn spin is going to correspond to how many bosons there are on each site. It takes a value of either 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to the maximum possible number. And this is going to be analogous to a confinement transition for certain types of loops that exist in this Levin-Wen model. So this is going to provide some sort of solvable, again in quotes solvable, the same way the transverse field Ising model is in two dimensions is solvable, realization of some of the transitions proposed by Bayes and Slingerland in this very nice paper. So then we can study it in a great amount of detail. All right, so the example that I'm going to show, the sort of the first non-trivial or the first less trivial example than the toric code case, is to consider Ising right cross Ising left model of from Levin-Wen. Now, the way you make an Ising right cross Ising left with Levin-Wen is you take your hexagonal lattice, and then instead of just labeling your edges with spin up or spin down, you label them with one of three variables, 1, sigma, or psi, which I've colored black, red, or blue. Again, the Levin-Wen Hamiltonian looks very much like the toric code Hamiltonian. It has a vertex term, and it has a plaquette term. The vertex term, again, looks like some sort of del dot E equals 0 condition, where here the condition is that the only allowed vertices are of these four types. So either three blacks, two blues and a black, two reds and a blue, two reds and a black. And you can see here I've colored this appropriately. So at every vertex, these conditions, one of these four conditions is satisfied. Now notice here that within these rules, the red lines have to form closed loops. There's no allowed configuration where the red line comes to the end. So the sigmas are going to form closed loops. That's going to give you a hint of what it is that we're going to be doing with this particular model. Again, we have the plaquette term, which is going to be a dynamical term in this edge basis, which is going to flip around the quantum numbers on the plaquette. If you violate this projection operator on this term, that's a magnetic defect. The ground state ends up being a weighted superposition of the string net configurations with appropriate coefficients. And the spectrum of this model, not proving this, is Ising left cross Ising right. It's not surprising that there's more than one sector, a left-handed sector and a right-handed sector, because we know there's two types of defects you can make. You can make a vertex-type defect, or you can make a plaquette-type defect. So here's the nine type of particles you can have in this model. You can have the right-handed particles, you can have the left-handed particles, you can have combinations of right-handed and left-handed particles. And the one of interest is the Z2 boson, psi right cross psi left. You take two of these and you fuse them together, you get back to the identity. Now, if you don't like these lattice models because they're too abstract, in fact, this picture is topologically equivalent to a PX plus IPY superconductor stuck to a PX minus IPY superconductor. Each one of these PX plus IPY superconductors is topologically an Ising model, and we just stick two of them together. They're completely independent. And the particle we want to condense out of this combination is the combination of the right-handed fermion and the left-handed fermion, so the fermion excitation in both superconductors, both layers simultaneously. In the lattice model, one way to describe this boson we're condensing is a flux of psi through a plaquette. Now, just like in the toric code, you can't make one of these defects with a local operator. You have to make them in pairs. That's a it's a local operator to make these things in pairs, but it's not a local operator to make them isolated. So this is going to be the Hamiltonian we're going to consider, the Levin-Wien Hamiltonian, plus this term, which is going to create, annihilate, or hop these bosons around. It's only going to create this one type of defect, so we can, for now, ignore any other type of defect in the model, any type of other quasiparticle in the model, and again reduce our Hilbert space to a Hilbert space where on every plaquette either the boson is present or the boson is not present, and that we call a tau spin being either up or down on each plaquette. And we have, again, an exact mapping to the transverse shieldizing model. Again, it costs you some energy to have the boson present, and then this term switches the state of two neighboring plaquettes at the same time. Are people happy with this so far, more or less? Okay. So again, we can focus in on what this term is, and it's maybe not surprising that this term here that creates two of these bosons on neighboring plaquettes is precisely a string tension for the sigma loops. So we can draw our phase diagram again. We have pure Ising right, cross Ising left, the pure Levin-Wien model here. Within this phase, we're still in the paramagnetic phase of the transverse field Ising model, and the sigma loops remain deconfined and is topologically still Ising right, cross Ising left. In the ferromagnetic phase, the sigma loops become confined. This is the ferromagnetic phase of the transverse field Ising model. And if we crank up delta to infinity, we're making an infinite string tension for the sigma loops, so there will be no sigma loops at all. And we can then try to identify what's going on in this ferromagnetic phase. Well, if there are no sigma loops at all, the edges are labeled by 1 and psi only, so maybe it's not surprising what comes out of this is that you get the toric code, which is one of the possibilities of what you get in a topological phase when there's only two possible labels for the edges.
Does this ferromagnetic phase have a broken symmetry?
Good question. Yeah, so you should think of this in terms of, Eduardo knows the answer to this, that you should think of this better in terms of an Ising gauge theory. So that's actually a fictional degree of freedom. There aren't two phases, there's only one. And the reason for this is because it boils down to, at the end of the day, that you can't create a single boson one at a time. You can only create them two at a time. So either oriented phase is actually gauge equivalent to the other. Yeah. So, yeah, that goes back to his Eduardo's work from ages ago. I think it's in that paper. I think that's where I learned it, if I didn't learn it from there. Okay. In terms of the P plus I, P minus I, P superconductor, the term that we're adding is something to condense this psi right cross psi left boson. It's really nothing more than an S-wave pairing of the fermions in the two layers, the spin up, spin down, or right, left, fermions in each layer. This is the term that you add. The condensation transition is the turning on of an S-wave pairing between the two layers in addition to the P-wave pairing.
L and R are the layers here?
The layers, yeah. So you think of them as spin-up.
Those are the only terms that couple them. Nothing else couples that's the only term in the Hamiltonian that couples the two layers?
If you want to do something analogous to what I just did before, which is to add just one term, which is going to create a condensation transition, then this would be the correct term to add. Now, one thing I didn't mention is you can always ask, okay, so we have this nice model in which we can follow the phase transition from one phase through to the other phase. Are there any perturbations to that which are relevant? And you can sort of walk through and ask yourself about this perturbation, that perturbation, that perturbation. It turns out that nothing is relevant except disorder. Disorder is always going to be relevant, but nothing else is. And that's not trivial because there are things that are outside of the space. So we worked in this reduced Hilbert space where we're only considering these bosons appearing and disappearing, but there are other particles that could have been created, like electric defects. You can ask, are those relevant or not? Turns out they're not.
What do those daggers mean? Aren't these neutral?
Yeah, they are. So this is just to make it look for more familiar from a fermion standpoint. A dagger and a non-dagger would be the same. Yeah.
For the same reason,
yeah.
You're just calling hopping as opposed to
pairing. It could, yeah, yeah. It's a hopping term, but it's a pairing term. I mean, you could write down a term that, you know, in a non-topological sense looks like what we conventionally think of as a BCS pairing term. Topologically, it has the character of a, you know, you don't care if it was a dagger or a non-dagger. It would have been the same. So you can draw the condensed phase like this, and you can ask, what are the excitations, the possible quasiparticles in this phase? Well, there's only one type of fermion. Once you're in this condensed phase, the right-handed fermion and the left-handed fermion are basically get identified by the presence of the condensate. So there's one fermion. And then there's a vortex that you can send through both layers at the same time. You can no longer put a vortex in one layer without the other layer, because the two layers are coupled by the S-wave pairing now. But still, in each core of the vortex, there's still a Majorana sitting there in the core of the vortex. So I have two Majoranas. That makes a Dirac fermion. The Dirac fermion can be in one of two possible states. So that means there's two species of bosons, one where the two Majoranas make a fermion and the other where they don't make a fermion. And that makes the three non-trivial particles of the toric code exactly as we expect. So the general structure of this kind of transition that we can work through is you start with, you know, a chiral Chern-Simons theory, if you like, or any modular tensor category, a word that I never would have known before Mike's influence in the field. From this Chern-Simons theory, I want to identify a Zn simple current within this Chern-Simons theory. I'm going to double the Chern-Simons theory. One way to double the Chern-Simons theory is to write a Levin-Wen lattice model where the edges are labeled by the particles of the Chern-Simons theory. But another way to double the Chern-Simons theory is just to write a field theory with the two-handed theories both not talking to each other. Then add a term to condense this boson, which is the combination of the left-handed psi and the right-handed psi. This will map exactly to the Zn spin model, and the condensed phase will be some non-trivial Drinfeld double of the subcategory of particles from the original Chern-Simons theory, which braid trivially with this psi. So this subcategory is a set of particles which have a braiding but are not modular generally. And so you end up with a Drinfeld double. So one of the reasons I like this is because I never understood these Drinfeld doubles at all, but at least some of these that can be obtained by just starting with a Chern-Simons theory and another Chern-Simons theory and adding this condensation term. Now I have a way to understand them. And I think that is where I'm going to stop. And thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Steve. Are there questions?
Yeah. Not sure this is exactly on the topic you're speaking about, but related. You've been showing some phase transitions from topologically ordered phases to completely trivial phases. Do you have anything that would be like a phase transition from a Z2 to Z2 gauge to just a U1 superfluid phase? Have you seen something like that?
I haven't seen. I don't think it doesn't. As far as I know, it does not fit in this topological symmetry breaking paradigm. I mean, Yost could answer that whether that's possible. Oh, okay, maybe we should talk about the numerics and find out, yeah.
There was another, I think Alex, anyone could have asked?
Yeah, I was trying to understand the first statement about the double of the theory. I was trying to understand the statement about the double of this theory of particles that break trivially.
So, the statement is, okay, I mean, it's actually, it's not that complicated a statement. The, in the in the Levin-Wen model, you always have some sort of condensation. The condensation transition ends up eliminating certain variables from the bond edges. Okay, and you ask which are the particles that are eliminated from the bond edges. It turns out to be those that do not braid trivially with the psi particle. If you're condensing psi bar, or psi right, psi left, along the edges of the Levin-Wen model, the particles that are eliminated from along the edges are the ones that don't braid trivially with psi.
Yeah, I'm thinking about just the toric code. Suppose we have
copies of the
toric code. Condense, say, M bar.
So one would need to, now you're labeling the edges now you're constructing a double of the toric code. So,
yeah.
Right, okay. So we should actually sit down and try to work that out. I think it will work out as advertised, that the particle, if you condense M bar, you should eliminate from the edges anything that doesn't braid trivially with M. So you'll end up with a trivial theory, I think.
Okay,
but we can sit down and try to work it out and
okay. Yeah. Here's another question. Yeah. Shenkei, were you you would ask a question? No.
So there are, well, in the quantum magnetic model, we can have a transition from the chiral icing rather than the double icing to the toric code. So is there a way to describe that?
Within the Bose condensation, paradigm, the central charge never changes. So we can't do anything that changes the central charge.
So. You could do something which is introduce auxiliary value variables and say, we start with central charge and after then couple to some auxiliary variables which have central charge minus 1/2 and then do condensation. But you have to sort of join the variables and how many things they are.
Yeah.
So in this scheme, the condensed phase is always an abelian phase.
No. It is not. It's the Dirichlet double. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. So the next case. So if you condense, in the case if you took SU3 cross SU3 bar and you condensed out the highest boson of that, you end up with double Fibonacci. So that's actually just removing something abelian. And SU4, you end up with a double of quantum double of D3. I mean, so you get all sorts of things out.
Yeah. For the sake of simplicity, it doesn't have to be a simple theory.
Well, actually, no. So the fact that you're condensing a Zn simple current doesn't mean that the theory that comes out is going to be abelian. So, but it's not just for simplicity that we do that. I mean, Alexei has a formalism. And actually, within Yost's algebraic formalism, one can think about condensing things that have much more complicated statistics. But we didn't have an exact way to implement that in a lattice model. So.
I wonder about starting with the PX plus IQY superconductors.
Yeah.
That's not strictly speaking a topological phase. It has some topological characteristics, but it has a classical order, for example.
Yeah.
Does your work give any insight into whether there might be a phase transition from pure icing state starting from a P-wave superconductor?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think we do the same hand waving business where we throw out non-topological sectors that we sort of always do. So I think it may also depend on details of exactly what you're condensing, because you could condense things which are topologically look the same, but in real life are actually different, and that would give you possible different results in the non-topological sector as well. So I think that would come down to details. So not a very good answer, I think.
More questions?